Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's some good things going on. There's some couple glitches that cost it. Two-seam fastball ran out of the swing path of Story. A high change up to Blackman he took advantage of after the walks. Again, boom, back-to-back kind of quick walks. However, there's some other sequences that were sharp and some things were getting better. Eight guys were tired on three pitches or less.
Clint Hurdle on the struggling Chris Archer, whose Pirates ERA now 5.55 on the year. Another five-inning start for him, which has become the norm. Greg Brown called the game last night. He's joining us right now, brought to you by Xfinity, America's best internet service provider, according to speedtest.net. Greg, I believe last year at a ceremony, Bob Smyzik went into the Pirates Media Hall of Fame. Do I have that right? Was he honored by the team?
Yes, he and Stan Savern. I think it was during spring training last year, I believe, around that time.
Well, Smyzik, in the last few months, has joined the bathroom stall of the internet, which I also like to call Twitter. And this is what Bob put on Twitter. I want to get your response to this. This is him on Twitter this morning. The $20 million left on Archer's contract is a, quote, liability. Considering the successes of Meadows and Glass now, this trade could be historical and franchise-altering. And perhaps GM changing. Is this Bob Smyzik hyperbole, in your opinion?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what went into his thinking and why he decided to tweet that out. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week that, you know, I think it's awfully early to be declaring, if you want to, a winner and or a loser in a trade like that. You know, I was not around in the early 90s. I was up in Buffalo when they traded for Zane Smith. In fact, I was calling games for one of the top players I had seen in pro ball, describing his actions. Moise Salou was a Pirate outfielder in the Pirate system, and he was one of the players that was traded in that Zane Smith deal, and he went on to have a great career. I would think, though, that Pirate fans would still have made that trade, would make it again, because Zane Smith did help them. He wasn't great, but he helped them kind of fill out that rotation, helped them win a couple division titles, even though Alou went on to have a great career, not Hall of Fame, but, I mean, for years, one of the best outfielders in the National League. So, and I say it's awfully, awfully early to declare a winner in this thing. If Archer helps them win a division title, get to the postseason, win games in postseason play, I think we would have to, I would anyway, say that it was worth it. If they don't, if he doesn't help them win a division or get to postseason play this year, next year, while he's under contract with the Pirates, and then those other guys help the Rays maybe win division, get to postseason play, then I think we can say the Rays were winners. But we're a ways away from that.
Well, we might be a ways away from that, Greg, but the early returns from last year, not good. The early returns this year, even worse. I guess I'm asking you, do you see signs that this guy, that Chris Archer, is becoming at all or doing anything that's working towards him becoming the pitcher they thought they were getting? Is there any solace to take out of his outings?
Well, if you look at and I know we always bristle at this, or we take a step back when we hype up September. We shouldn't, because you have to take each game into account when you're talking about a starting pitcher in September. Sometimes you're not playing against playoff caliber teams. But overall, his September was really good last year. So if I'm taking anything, I'm kind of latching onto that right now. And I will say, even though he's not been good his last two starts, even though I know the skipper bristled at me on the pregame show yesterday when I made that suggestion that Archer needed to be better this time. And I can understand Clint Hurley. He wants to take the positives as best he can. He talked about how he had retired 10 straight in that start on Wednesday after he had walked three of the first four batters. This is last week in Arizona, gave up three runs and put them behind the eight ball, and they lost that game 11-1. He was better last night. And that you know, it may be just a small victory, but he was better. And so if he can be better next time, build on that, then I think we got a guy who is going to help round out a rotation. So I'm certainly not going to give up on the guy yet. You can't. I mean, you really don't have much of a choice. He's an established starter in the big leagues, and you can't give up on him right now.
Well, that's really the thing, Greg. You say it right there. You can't. You don't have much choice. That's not something I get. And I know what you're saying. I agree with it. You really have no choice. That's not something you wanted to be saying about him X number of starts or whatever innings into his Pirates
17.
Career. 85 innings or whatever it is.
No doubt about that. Of course. And we would all be wanting to say, hey, this guy's an ace. He's striking out 10 guys a game, 7 innings, 5 hits. So of course, that's what we would want. But, you know, that's not what we've gotten. That's not to say we won't get the Archer in his prime when he was, you know, striking out 200 guys a year and helping a bad Tampa Bay team win some ball games. Let's just see how it goes. I'm just not ready to write him off yet for two reasons. Number one, I'm too hopeful and optimistic that whoever was recommending this trade, they saw some things in Archer. We saw it in September last year that we'll see that guy again, and he'll help the Pirates win a lot of ball games.
Greg Brown joining us on the Fan Text Line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, remind you to text responsibly. Greg, what do your Pirates people tell you about Mitch Keller? Is he ready to come up here and help this team?
Well, I mean, I know that was you couldn't have asked for a better start from him last night, and that's exactly what they needed. My guess is, and I've got no inside information, that even before last night, they were thinking about Monday with that doubleheader against the Reds, knowing they needed a starter, that they had. My guess is they had plans to bring him up and start that game almost regardless of what happened last night, just by the fact that they were rearranging the rotation in Indy anyway. And so we'll see what happens. You know, I don't know what the Pirates will say about if he does make a start on Monday against the Reds, when they will be asked, is this just a spot start? Does he go back down? I don't know what they will say. I'm guessing, again, that he comes up on Monday, and for the foreseeable future, he's part of the rotation. Total guess on my part.
Greg, what has been your overall impression of Cole Tucker since he's come up? We know how it started for him with the first hit being one that went over the wall and how exciting that was, and I think a lot of people feel pretty good about him defensively. What is the overall impression, though?
You know, for me, Chris, it's very tough because I root for him as a person, and you guys have gotten a chance, I'm sure, to see enough of it. If you haven't run into him yet, he probably has called you by your first name already after meeting you once. He's just a tremendous human being, and he just brings so much life and enthusiasm to that field and to that clubhouse. I've hearkened back to that. I've said this quote a couple of times. I'll say it again because I can't help but think back to what Joe Maddon said many years ago about David Eckstein, who, of course, was a World Series MVP with the St. Louis Cardinals, kind of like the little engine that could. I think he's listed maybe at 5'8 when he played. He's now part of the Pirates organization as a special assistant. His brother Rick is the hitting coach. I loved watching Rick Eckstein play ball because he just did all the smart things, the little things right. Even though he's not at the top of your list among superstars. But anyway, like I said, he was a World Series MVP. But Joe Maddon said, Rick Eckstein is the kind of player that could go out there and go 0-for-4 and commit 3 errors and yet still help you win a ball game. To me, that describes Cole Tucker. I think he is still helping this team win. I love the way he attacks the baseball. I love the way he plays with that boundless enthusiasm on the field. I think they need him despite hitting under 200. I would love for them to say, you know what, come heck or high water, we're going to play this guy every day. He's going to find out how to play in the big leagues. He'll figure it out. We'll be better for it defensively. And, again, the ancillary things I talked about with him. So, for me, I love seeing him out in that. I wish they would decide to lead him off. I think he'd be more comfortable there. I think it's a heck of a thing to have to do to a kid, put him in that eighth spot, which is so difficult. But they're not going to listen to me or Michael McHenry. Michael and I agree on that aspect, but we'd love to see him leading off.
Talking to Greg Brown, Pirates broadcaster, Pirates and Rockies tonight on The Fan with the NASCO preview show at 5:40. I just want to get your opinion on this story that just came down from the New York Post, Greg. According to George King, longtime Yankees beat writer, Pirates had a scout in Baltimore last night to watch outfielder Clint Frazier, who was a guy that was linked to them a couple of years ago when the Yankees were trying to trade for Gerrit Cole. That was the guy they reportedly wanted back from New York. What's your reaction to hearing that the Pirates were scouting a young outfielder last night?
I mean, on the surface, it's the first I've heard of that. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't see where that would fit. So my first reaction, Andrew, is that it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, I will say also that, you know, scouts are out watching guys all the time as we get ready, you know, especially now that we have just that one trade deadline, the end of July. So these scouts have to be prepared for almost every single player. And there might be a bunch of scouts out there watching Clint Frazier. I don't know. I mean, maybe the Yankees have made it known that they're looking to move him and all these teams are watching him. But so much stuff happens now in the end of July. But on the surface right now, I don't see where an outfielder fits in.
All right, Brownie, I've got to bring up another New York team to you right now, and that would be the New York Mets. And I'm going to explain this to you as concisely as I can. My brave co-host over here, a lifelong Mets fan, a man who has bled orange and blue with that team, has reached his wit's end, and they keep up Mickey Callaway, big vote of confidence there. The team stinks. They're a dumpster fire.
Cespedes, don't forget about
Cespedes breaking his ankle. Who knows what he was actually doing? They said he stepped in a hole. They're not even good at creative writing when they excuse away these injuries. Andrew has said, Brownie, that if there aren't major changes, if there isn't some sort of sign from the universe, like firing the manager or something else, by the day after Memorial Day, he's officially renouncing his Mets fandom and he's fully coming on board with the Pirates. Your thoughts on whether this is even possible emotionally for young Andrew?
I shouldn't speak for young Andrew. I will say this. It would bum me out a little bit that a guy who now grew up a Mets fan in Western New York.
Upstate New York, yep.
Yeah. And there must be some reason for loyalty toward the Mets.
Yes.
I think it goes back to your childhood.
Yep.
I have always argued that my belief is when you pledge an allegiance to a team as a youngster, and you become a diehard fan of that team, I'm not sure that when you move away, it's like Steeler fans, Pirate fans, Penguin fans. We see them all over the place. We go around the country. They have left Pittsburgh, but they've kept their loyalty to the black and. As much as I'd love to see you become a Pirate fan, it would disappoint me that you would lose your allegiance to a team you grew up rooting. I've never understood that. I've never understood how come good times, bad. I grew up a huge Chicago Bears fan, and they were horrible, horrible. But every week I could not wait to try and listen to WBDM on the radio if it would occasionally come in to hear just a snippet or two of a Chicago Bears game. I used to subscribe to the Bears Report. It came out like every 2 months. Couldn't wait to go to the mailbox and see that thing. And they were horrible. So I don't understand. You leave your team based on whether they're good or bad, in my opinion. You keep your loyalties to your club.
So let me ask you a question. When you were at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena and you were calling fake punts and Nate Newton running down, BB and all that, there was not a part of you that was rooting for the Bills, Greg?
Okay. That's a little different, I will say, because...
But he never renounced the Bears.
Yes, he did.
I never renounced the Bears. No, I didn't renounce them.
So when the Bills played the Bears, you wanted Chicago to win those games?
No, I can't say that.
Oh, wait a minute.
So here I am.
Now you're talking about my paycheck.
Okay, I'm on the Pirates flagship station. I've lived in Pittsburgh for 10 years. My wife is a Pirates fan.
She's a Pittsburgher.
We go to 30-plus games a year. I take my friggin' dogs to pup night and put them in Pirates jerseys. I've got a right to be a Pirates fan, Greg.
I guess you do, Andrew. I guess you do. You told me.
And I mean, the most famous person associated with the Mets in the last 10 years is Bernie Madoff. So,
and Greg, this is what I'd like to have happen, if you are willing.
Oh, boy.
If the Mets don't make a substantial move in the next week or so, by Memorial Day, when we broadcast live from Federal Street a couple Fridays from now, will you bring a Blast media guide or his biography? I will put my hand on it like it's an inauguration event. And you will swear me into Pirates fandom.
Beautiful.
You can baptize
me in. Well, no, hold on.
In.
Brownie, you're not going to swear him in unless, and this is a common thing, you're a U.S. citizen, you got to take the citizenship test, and most U.S. citizens born into it can't pass it because it's very difficult. We need to make a 5-question Pirates fandom test or a Pirates citizenship
test. Then will Greg swear me in?
Yeah, if he passes it, he's a smart man, then we can swear him in.
Would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely. And nice audience on hand. I think family members.
We need witnesses.
From around the country should be there.
We need a notary public there as well.
Absolutely. Get Judge Jack McVay, who's a Pirates season ticket holder, a good friend of mine. I might actually have him on hand.
And I got to be honest, full honesty here, full disclosure. I was so upset with you and Wehner this weekend, ripping into the Mets. Why are they so bad? What a joke of an organization. But you guys were right. You were right.
I didn't rip into the Mets for being a joke of an organization.
Well, you
should have, because they are.
I don't recall ripping into the Mets for being a joke.
Well, what did Wehner say? He didn't take him. He didn't take him to task.
He might have, but okay. I don't recall it.
All right, I got that secondhand. Sometimes you get a game of telephone with people where
you get that. Hey, we broadcasters get that. Fine, we get accused of saying something we didn't constantly.
Yep, it goes both ways, Greg. All right, we'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right, man. The Bible ready.
Okay, we'll see you. Bye bye, Greg Brown. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan. You're run by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Locations in North Huntington, the North Hills.
Do you think the Pirates brass in the front office, you know, the media people, your Brian Warecki's, Jim Tredinich's, do you think they would be excited to have Andrew on board as a formal official Pirates fan?
Yes.
Jeff?
I don't think so, no.
Why? If I'm going to spend money on their team and buy their gear and stuff, they don't care.
Do you think the Penguins are happy that I'm a half-season ticket holder when I've destroyed David Morehouse many times on the air?
Your money counts just as much as the guy that's sitting next to you up there. Money is money.
I've got some questions ready.
And Jeff,
I've got some ideas.
And look, let me tell you something right now. Jeff knows what I'm talking about here. Before Jeff really got involved in the Pittsburgh media, diehard Packers fan. He's not anymore.
Really? You were.
Yeah.
You were cheesehead.
My family. I was a Steeler fan my whole life, but Packers, they never played except for one Super Bowl.
If Pitt was playing Ohio State for the national championship, or when Pitt plays Ohio State someday soon for the national championship, will you be rooting for the Fighting Narduzzis?
All right, we got to go here. Jermichael's getting on us. All right. NASCO preview show coming up at 5:40. Here's Jeff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.